Well, people are trickling in. Get yourself settled, and I will pray to get us started. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing us together again this evening in community and giving us the opportunity to learn more about you through the words that you have given Hosea. Lord, I pray that your spirit would fill this space, that you would allow us to have a calm heart, that you would allow us to have a clear mind, and that you would be present, and that we would be able to experience you in a new and unique way. Lord, I pray that our conversations and the opportunity that we have to connect and talk about what we experience in and through our time together, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in it. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, Hosea, day two or week two of our introduction. I want to just kind of give you an overview of what we're going to do tonight because it'll look a little bit different. But I'll give you a brief kind of recap of some of the important things that we highlighted last week. And then I'm going to share a video with you that gives an overview of Hosea. And then give a little bit more context. Some of you asked very specific questions after last week to give more context. I'll do that. And then we will listen to the whole book of Hosea again tonight, the same reader. And I'll give a little bit more context and a little bit more of the reason, like more meat to why are we doing this? What's the significance? And I hope to surprise some of you with the reason that we're doing it and the significance of listening to this book in one sitting. And so, and then you will have time, a little bit more time, I hope, for your discussion groups tonight. I do have some questions. I hope that you grab them off the back table. But there will be more time for discussion groups this evening. And I do want to collect more questions from you. So in the journal that you have, if you have your own journal, yay. If you had grabbed one from last week, bring it every week. If you didn't get one, whatever's left back there is it. Also on the back table before you came in should have been the little graph of the prophets that we had from last week. For those of you that are visual learners, that can be really handy. So you can grab one of those as well. Okay, so last week we talked a lot about context and the literary context. And we talked about the fact that Hosea is prophetic, okay? It's talking about what is going to happen in the future, but he also talks about what happened in the past as he's talking about what's going to happen in the future. And it's poetic, and it is an analogy, okay? So if you're like me, all of our brains work a little bit differently, right? Like, we don't all quite process information the same. I tend to be more literal in my thinking, and I'm rather pragmatic, okay? So poetry for me can be really hard. Like, I remember in high school going through the poetry units and just being like, oh, honestly, like, can we just talk straight? Like, tell me what you want me to hear. I can hear it. But the figurative language, the metaphor, the simile, like, they were hard for me to grasp. And I think that that is a challenge for a lot of people. I have an artistic brain, but it is not artistic in a literary sense. I would prefer just prose, like sentences without like word counts and the, you know, kind of the sing-songiness of a poem. Okay, that's how my brain works. And so it's important for us to remember in this literary context, this analogy of marriage and this poetic, you know, kind of writing style. It might not be for all of us, but we will work through all of it. And not all of it is going to make sense to us because sometimes, as we saw in Daniel, these metaphors, these visions that were given, we couldn't quite place and make like direct correlations to what Daniel's visions and dreams were. Okay? And that is going to be true here as well. Okay, so we have to keep in mind that idea of this context of poetry and this analogy. Because if we don't, we could get stuck in a spot where we imagine and see God as this angry, vengeful God. Because there's big, strong language in this. And if you were raised understanding that God is vengeful and angry and you better do it right or you better watch out, this book can really trip you up if you don't keep in mind the context of this metaphor, this poetic language and the metaphor and the analogy in which Hosea is speaking. Okay? So context really, really matters. And I'm going to keep repeating that and reminding us of the context of what we are reading because I think it's really important. So this idea of God being angry or an angry God, there's a difference, right? So God is not seeking revenge on Israel. He's not talking about in some of this language that we see and we're hearing. He's not talking about seeking revenge on Israel, okay? He's angry. He's hurt. He's worried. Remember the illustration that I gave last week of the hypothetical 17-year-old that might live in my house or lived in my house because there was two of them or there is, and you don't know which one. That's what he said. He's like, you can say 17-year-old because there was two of us. They won't know which one. But remember I said, like, I can't actually even tell you all the things I said because I would get in trouble. But I spoke with such big, powerful language because I was so afraid for his life and worried about him. Okay, and if he still speeds, if he keeps speeding, and let's say hypothetically he was pulled over like 3 times and he didn't get a speeding ticket, like there's no consequence yet. He's going to keep doing it. So then like hypothetically, now for real hypothetically, I call the police and I'm like, hey, there's this jokester. This is what he drives. And you've given him 3 warnings and he's not learning a lesson. And next time he gets pulled over, he probably needs a ticket. Because that's the consequence, that's the punishment, right? That will hopefully curb the activity or the behavior that is dangerous to him. So as a loving mom, I want the consequence so the behavior changes. So this idea of a vengeful God, an angry God, he's angry. He is angry, he's hurt, he's worried, but he's not an angry God that is seeking vengeance or revenge. Okay, so we have to keep that context in mind as well as we're reading this. Okay, because our brains work differently, I think for some reason, I think as we get older, illustration is not somehow mature or adult-like. But I don't know about you, I'm a visual learner. I'm not auditory. I don't do very well with audiobooks unless I have the book in front of me. And I like tangible things that I can see. And so I was sharing this morning that when I'm learning and when I'm listening, I would print off outlines because I want to be able to write on them. And I also, when I'm visualizing something or trying to recall something, I'll recall where it is on a page. On a page, I can recall the words, I can see the bold word. Now it's getting harder as I get older. But generally speaking, I'm visual. You can give me directions. And once I have directions to someplace once, I'm probably going to be able to get there again because I will make visual references and landmarks to get myself there again. And I can usually get myself back, like from where I went. So some of us are very visual. So a lot of you last week had said and emailed me, have you ever heard of this Bible Project? Sure have. I think it's awesome. I really enjoy it. I think a lot of you do. So I have chosen to share it with you because it is a visual representation and it is different and it is an amazing resource. They have an introduction overview of all of the books of the Bible on the Bible Project. And so we'll watch it, and then I'll share a little bit more with you about the other resources that they have for us. Go ahead.
The book of the prophet Hosea. Hosea lived in the northern kingdom of Israel, which he sometimes calls Ephraim or Jacob, about 200 years after they had broken off from southern Judah. Remember the story from 1 Kings. Hosea was called to speak on God's behalf during the reign of one of Israel's worst kings, Jeroboam II. The nation was descending into chaos, and in the year 722, the big bad Assyrian Empire swooped in and decimated Israel. Again, see the story in 2 Kings. And Hosea had seen all of this coming. The book is a collection of some 25 years of his preaching and writing. It's almost all poetry. And this whole collection has been designed to have three main sections. Let's just dive in and you'll see how it works. The opening part tells the story of Hosea's broken marriage to a woman named Gomer, who commits adultery. Now, it's not totally clear whether Gomer slept around with other men before or only after they got married, but they did have three children together and things fell apart. The important point is that God tells Hosea that despite Gomer's unfaithfulness, he is to go find her, to pay off her debts to her lovers, and to commit his love and faithfulness to her once again. And then God says that all of this, the broken and repaired marriage, the children, it's all a prophetic symbol telling the story of God's relationship to Israel. So God has been like a faithful husband to Israel. He rescued them out of slavery. He brought them to Mount Sinai, where he entered into a covenant with them. He asked them to be faithful to him alone. But then he brought Israel into the promised land, and they took all the abundance that he gave them, and they dedicated it to the worship of the Canaanite god Baal. And so God has a legitimate reason. He could end the covenant and divorce Israel, and he thinks about doing so, but instead, he says that he's going to pursue Israel again and renew his covenant with them. And he says why? It's purely because of his own love, compassion, and faithfulness. Hosea then spells out what all this means. He says the consequences for Israel's rebellion will be imminent defeat by other nations and exile. But there's hope for future restoration. One day Israel will once again repent and come back to worship their God. And Hosea says he will place over them a new messianic king from the line of David who will bring God's blessing. And so this opening section introduces all the main ideas of the book. Israel has rebelled, and God's going to bring severe consequences, but God's own covenant love and mercy are more powerful than Israel's sin. And so in the remaining sections of the book, Hosea's poetry explores these themes in more depth. So there are two collections of his accusations and warnings for Israel, and then each of these is concluded by a very hopeful poem about God's mercy and hope for the future. So chapters 4 through 10, Hosea explores the causes and effects of Israel's unfaithfulness. He says numerous times that Israel lacks all knowledge or understanding of God. The Hebrew word to know, which is yada, it's more than just intellectual activity. It describes personal relational knowledge. It's the difference between just knowing about someone and then actually knowing that someone. And God wants Israel to know him like that, in a relationship. He wants them to experience his love for them and become the kind of knowledge that transforms their hearts and lives so that they love him in return. And so this is why Hosea is constantly exposing the hypocrisy of Israel's worship. He constantly shows how they're breaking the Ten Commandments, how they're allowing grave injustice in their communities, and then they go to their sacred temples and they offer sacrifices to God like everything is just fine. But it's not fine. And not only because of their hypocrisy, but because they're worshiping all of these other gods too. He mentions many times their altars to Baal at the cities of Bethel and Gilgal. And not only have they given their allegiance to other gods, Hosea repeatedly accuses Israel for trusting in their political alliances with Egypt and Assyria. So instead of trusting God to protect them, they want to become like these nations and rely solely on military power. And God says it's all going to come crashing down on their heads, because in not too long, Assyria will turn on them and come to ravage their lands. In this other section of warning, Hosea gives an ancient Israelite history lesson to show how this family's been unfaithful from the beginning. So he alludes to the patriarch Jacob's lying and treachery. Remember Genesis 27 and 28. He alludes to Israel's rebellion in the wilderness. Remember the book of Numbers. He alludes to their appointment of the corrupt king Saul, who led the people into sin and disaster. Remember the stories in 1 Samuel. This is all Hosea's way of saying some things in this family never change. So what hope does Hosea have? Well, we know from chapter 3 that God's going to do something to save and restore his people. And that's what these two concluding chapters explore. Chapter 11 is beautiful. The poem depicts God as a loving father who raised his son Israel and then shared everything with him. But the son grew up and rebelled and turned on the father, taking advantage of his generosity. And so in this poem, God is emotionally torn apart. One moment he's angry, and naturally he says he's going to bring severe consequences. But the next moment he's heartbroken. And then he says that he's moved by his mercy and compassion, and he's going to forgive the son that he loves. He says, "How can I give you up, Ephraim? My heart churns inside of me. All my compassion is aroused." And so while God did allow Israel to be conquered by Assyria, face the consequences, that's not God's final word. There's still hope. And that's what the last chapter is about. Hosea calls Israel to repent and turn back to their God, but he knows that it won't last because it never has before. And God says that one day he will heal their waywardness and love them freely. God goes on to describe this new healed Israel as a lush tree that will grow deep roots and broad branches and offer shade and fruit to all of the nations. It's an image of God's promise to Abraham, how Israel was to become a blessing to the nations. And God's saying, if that's ever going to happen, it's going to require an act of God's grace and healing power to repair the deep brokenness and sinful selfishness of the human heart so that God's people can receive his love and love him in return. This is what God promises to do. Now, after this poem concludes, we find the very last words of the book. They're like an appended note. They're likely from the author who collected Hosea's poetry and now wants to speak to you, the reader, for a second. And he says, "Who is wise and discerning to understand all of this?" In other words, Hosea's poems. "The ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them." So the author wants you to know that Hosea's ancient poetry to northern Israel is not locked in the past. It reveals deep truths about God's character and purposes and human nature. And while God should and does bring his justice on human evil, his ultimate purpose, his heart, is to heal and to save his people. And that's what the book of Hosea is all about.
Who liked comic books as a kid? Or graphic novels if you're like in your 20s or 30s, right? This isn't that. This is that. This is an illustrated kind of graphic depiction of in the overview of Hosea. And so for me, it's easy for me to be able to spot the three, you know, kind of categories that he made and the banner on the top. Like, those are the things that I remember. It's how my brain works. And that might not be how your brain works, but what I want to be able to do and why we're taking this 2 weeks is I want to give you different kinds of resources and permission to know that there are other kinds of resources available to you. And the cool thing is about the Bible Project is that, well, first of all, Matthew Michaud right next door to me has this beauty on his desk or on his table. It's a book of every one of the maps that are drawn. But you can get them, you can print them yourself when you go onto the Bible Project website. So on a this is legal size, and then this. So you can have this as notes for yourself or a visual overview for yourself as well. And this is helpful because when we need reference points. Like last week, somebody said to me, "Can you help me? Can you help us understand geographically, okay, Ephraim, Judah, okay? It's Israel. They split." So he's talking about Ephraim, and then he'll talk about Judah, and he'll talk about Israel. Ephraim's in the north. Judah's in the south, it's Israel, they've divided. And then I also said before Israel fell, okay? Because the context of this, Hosea's ministry was in kind of three different periods where there was prosperity and then there was like chaos and anarchy and then this period right before Israel fell. Well, we heard in here that this was part of what God was warning them of, right? You have this security in these foreign powers and all these other places besides me, and I'm telling you that you will be taken over. You will fall to one of these foreign powers, and Israel does. And so that's what Hosea is speaking of, and that is depicted and referenced in here in this illustration as well. So another resource that might grab your attention, that might work for you. At the bottom of your question sheet, I've listed another one resource for you. Fuller Seminary is where I went to school, and they have what is called Fuller Studio, and there's videos on that, and I have a link there that you can use. It is an introduction and kind of an overview to every book in the Bible also. And so the introduction for Hosea is by Mark Laberton. He was the president of Fuller while I was there. He's written other books. His introduction and overview of Hosea is beautiful. And so I encourage you to look at that. But I want you to know that this room is not the only place for you to get information about God's word. Myself, Eric, John, Matthew, Lee, Amanda, we're not the only ones that you can go to look for information. And if you're unsure about a resource, ask us. We probably have experience with it, and if we don't, you know, one or the other probably has, and so don't be afraid to ask us if it is a decent resource for you to use or reference or look at, or share with us something that works for you. So I love the Bible Project, and I love these videos, and I watch them. And somebody, like literally, actually four people after last Wednesday said, hey, have you seen this? Would you show this? Yeah, let's do it. So that's why I share that with you. So as we go into this time of listening, I want to preface it with a couple of things, because there's a lot of feedback about last week, and I want to make sure that you understand the purpose of listening to Hosea from beginning to end in one sitting. The intent is not for you to be able to stay focused on it word for word and follow along. That is not the intent. For some, Jackie Hill Perry is reading too fast. For some, Jackie Hill Perry is reading too slow. For some, I asked Eric last week, after chapters 3, 7, 10, please pause for 30 seconds to just give us a minute to recompose ourselves and settle in. And for some of you, that 30 seconds about killed you. This is really about the practice of sitting still and listening. The expectation is not that you are following along word for word and understanding the entire poetic book of Hosea. And it's leading up to a practice that I will introduce next week. I know Eric alluded to it in a sermon and in here probably. This idea of dwelling in the word, just kind of sitting. So after tonight, we'll go chapter by chapter, and after Ash Wednesday, we'll go a little bit faster, do a couple chapters, but these chapters are a little bit shorter. But we'll go chapter by chapter, and then after they're read, we'll have some time to sit with it. And I'll give more instruction about that next week. But the idea is this practice of sitting and being still. and listening. Not to me, not to a video, not to an audio recording necessarily, but listening to the voice of God. And so there's space here. Some people might say, well, why don't you just tell us to do it at home? Well, Eric's invited this for the last 2 years, right? That we go home and we listen to a book through, you know? But we have space here. So we're together. We're going to do it here in community. Because what's the first, if I ask you, and this is one of the questions for tonight, if I ask you, what keeps you, what makes it so difficult to sit still and listen? What do you suppose the number one answer is going to be? I don't have time. Well, guess what? I'm making time right here. And so now we have to contemplate, what are the other answers? Why is it so hard? There's time here. There's time set aside for us to sit, and there's time for us to listen and hear. And so what makes it difficult for us? If your mind races, join the club. It's okay. If you're two sentences behind while Jackie Hill Perry's reading, it's okay. The point is not to follow along word for word and get everything right and pay attention. You are not successful if you don't break concentration. Just give yourself permission to experience whatever it is that you experience in this time of quiet listening. And so I'm going to give you a few seconds to settle in. I realized that last week I didn't tell you what page Hosea starts on in the Blue Bibles. And I sat down and I was like, oh, shoot. Are they paging through looking for Hosea? In the Blue Bible, it is on page 751. You have a journal. You can open the journal. If there are things that are of interest to you, surprise you, make you cringe, wonder, you want more information about, why did they say that, you see a pattern, like anything, write it down. Or even underline it. Put a little underline in the Bible. You can write in the Blue Bible. Other people probably have before you. Okay? So use this time to settle in. My experience last week was kind of like a marathon. I've heard, because I've never run one. I did a half marathon once. So I heard from my friend Dan, it's kind of like when you run a marathon, like that first, how many miles, Dan? Did you say two or three? One. Painful. And then you kind of settle in and you don't feel the hurt anymore or your lungs, you know, wanting to explode. So that's what I experienced last week. I kind of settled in and I was like, okay, pull it together, Amy. Like, you can do, like, sit. I was saying that to myself last week. So take a minute. Open your Bible, close your eyes for a minute, just take a few seconds before we push play, and there will be pauses, and there will be a pause at the end.
The Book of Hosea, Chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned no mercy, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, call his name not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Chapter 2. Say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sisters, you have received mercy. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face, and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. Upon her children also I will have no mercy, because they are children of whoredom. For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her, so that she cannot find her paths. She shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore I will take back my grain in its time, and my wine in its season, and I will take away my wool and my flax, which were to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall rescue her out of my hand. And I will put an end to all her mirth, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed feasts, and I will lay waste her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall devour them. And I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, when she burned offerings to them, and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry, and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak tenderly to her, and there I will give her her vineyards, and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal, for I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Chapter 3. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lithek of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man, so will I also be to you. For the children of Israel shall dwell many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or pillar, without ephod or household gods. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and they shall come in fear to the Lord, and to his goodness in the latter days. Chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love, and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and let none accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day. The prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not multiply, because they have forsaken the Lord, to cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles, for a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. They sacrifice on the tops of the mountains, and burn offerings on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters play the whore, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For the men themselves go aside with prostitutes, and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin. Though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, and swear not, as the Lord lives. Like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them, like a lamb in a broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Chapter 5. Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mizpah, and a net spread out upon Tabor. And the revolters have gone deep into slaughter, but I will discipline all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in his guilt. Judah also shall stumble with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they have borne alien children. Now the new moon shall devour them with their fields. Blow the horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Sound the alarm at Beth-Aven. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment among the tribes of Israel. I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, because he was determined to go after filth. But I am like a moth to Ephraim, and like dry rot to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria, and sent to the great king. But he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim, and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off, and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Chapter 6. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with blood. As robbers lie in wait for a man, so the priests band together. They murder on the way to Shechem. They commit villainy. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's whoredom is there. Israel is defiled. For you also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed when I restore the fortunes of my people. Chapter 7. When I would heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim is revealed, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely. The thief breaks in, and the bandits raid outside. But they do not consider that I remember all their evil. Now their deeds surround them. They are before my face. By their evil they make the king glad, and the princes by their treachery. They are all adulterers. They are like a heated oven, whose baker ceases to stir the fire, from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes became sick with the heat of wine. He stretched out his hand with mockers, for with hearts like an oven they approach their intrigue. All night their anger smolders. In the morning it blazes like a flaming fire. All of them are hot as an oven, and they devour their rulers. All their kings have fallen, and none of them calls upon me. Ephraim mixes himself with the peoples. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers devour his strength, and he knows it not. Gray hairs are sprinkled upon him, and he knows it not. The pride of Israel testifies to his face, yet they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim is like a dove, silly and without sense, calling to Egypt, going to Assyria. As they go, I will spread over them my net. I will bring them down like birds of the heavens. I will discipline them according to the report made to their congregation. Woe to them, for they have strayed from me. Destruction to them, for they have rebelled against me. I would redeem them, but they speak lies against me. They do not cry to me from the heart, but they wail upon their beds. For grain and wine they gash themselves. They rebel against me. Although I trained and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not upward. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, because of the insolence of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Chapter 8. Set the trumpet to your lips. One like a vulture is over the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. To me they cry, "My God, we, Israel, know you." Israel has spurned the good. The enemy shall pursue him. They made kings, but not through me. They set up princes, but I knew it not. With their silver and gold they made idols for their own destruction. I have spurned your calf, O Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For it is from Israel. A craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria shall be broken to pieces, for they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads. It shall yield no flour. If it were to yield, strangers would devour it. Israel is swallowed up. Already they are among the nations, as a useless vessel. For they have gone up to Assyria, a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has hired lovers. Though they hire allies among the nations, I will soon gather them up, and the king and princes shall soon writhe because of the tribute, because Ephraim has multiplied altars for sinning. They have become to him altars for sinning. Were I to write for him my laws by the 10,000s, they would be regarded as a strange thing. As for my sacrificial offerings, they sacrifice meat and eat it, but the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins. They shall return to Egypt. For Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces, and Judah has multiplied fortified cities. So I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour her strongholds. Chapter 9. Rejoice not, O Israel. Exult not like the peoples, for you have played the whore, forsaking your God. You have loved a prostitute's wages on all threshing floors. Threshing floor and wine vat shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail them. They shall not remain in the land of the Lord, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean food in Assyria. They shall not pour drink offerings of wine to the Lord, and their sacrifices shall not please them. It shall be like mourner's bread to them, All who eat of it shall be defiled. For their bread shall be for their hunger only. It shall not come to the house of the Lord. What will you do on the day of the appointed festival, and on the day of the feast of the Lord? For behold, they are going away from destruction. But Egypt shall gather them. Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their precious things of silver. Thorns shall be in their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of recompense have come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The man of the spirit is mad because of your great iniquity and great hatred. The prophet is the watchman of Ephraim with my God. Yet a fowler's snare is on all his ways, and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. Like grapes in the wilderness, I found Israel. Like the first fruit on the fig tree in its first season, I saw your fathers. But they came to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to the thing of shame and became detestable like the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory shall fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they bring up children, I will bereave them till none is left. Woe to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I have seen, was like a young palm planted in a meadow. But Ephraim must lead his children out to slaughter. Give them, O Lord, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts. Every evil of theirs is in Gilgal. There I began to hate them because of the wickedness of their deeds. I will drive them out of my house. I will love them no more. All their princes are rebels. Ephraim is stricken. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Even though they give birth, I will put their beloved children to death. My God will reject them because they have not listened to him. They shall be wanderers among the nations. Chapter 10. Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars. For now they will say, "We have no king, for we do not fear the Lord. And a king, what could he do for us?" They utter mere words. With empty oaths they make covenants. So judgment springs up like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria tremble for the calf of Beth-Aven. Its people mourn for it, and so do its idolatrous priests. Those who rejoice over it and over its glory, for it has departed from them. The thing itself shall be carried to Assyria as tribute to the great king. Ephraim shall be put to shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his idol. Samaria's king shall perish like a twig on the face of the waters. The high places of Aven, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. Thorn and thistle shall grow up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." From the days of Gibeah you have sinned, O Israel. There they have continued. Shall not the war against the unjust overtake them in Gibeah? When I please, I will discipline them, and nations shall be gathered against them when they are bound up for their double iniquity. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh, and I spared her fair neck. But I will put Ephraim to the yoke. Judah must plow. Jacob must harrow for himself. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. Therefore the tumult of war shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be destroyed. As Shalman destroyed Beth Arbel on the day of battle, mothers were dashed in pieces with their children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great evil. At dawn the king of Israel shall be utterly cut off. Chapter 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. and I bent down to them and fed them. They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword shall rage against their cities, consume the bars of their gates, and devour them because of their own counsels. My people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboam? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord. He will roar like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, declares the Lord. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah still walks with God and is faithful to the Holy One. Chapter 12. Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind all day long. They multiply falsehood and violence. They make a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord has an indictment against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb he took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name. So you, by the help of your God, return. Hold fast to love and justice and wait continually for your God. A merchant in whose hands are false balances he loves to oppress. Ephraim has said, "Ah, but I am rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors they cannot find in me iniquity or sin. I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. I will again make you dwell in tents, as in the days of the appointed feast. I spoke to the prophets. It was I who multiplied visions, and through the prophets gave parables. If there is iniquity in Gilead, they shall surely come to nothing. In Gilgal they sacrifice bulls. Their altars also are like stone heaps on the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to the land of Aram. There Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he guarded sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel up from Egypt, and by a prophet he was guarded. Ephraim has given bitter provocation, so his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and will repay him for his disgraceful deeds." Chapter 13. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He was exalted in Israel, but he incurred guilt through Baal and died. And now they sin more and more and make for themselves metal images, idols skillfully made of their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said of them, "Those who offer human sacrifice kiss calves." Therefore they shall be like the morning mist, or like the dew that goes early away, like the chaff that swirls from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a window. But I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. You know no God but me, and besides me there is no Savior. It was I who knew you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. But when they had grazed, they became full. They were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Therefore they forgot me. So I am to them like a lion, like a leopard I will lurk beside the way. I will fall upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear open their breasts, and there I will devour them like a lion, as a wild beast would rip them open. He destroys you, O Israel, for you are against me, against your helper. Where now is your king to save you in all your cities? Where are all your rulers, those of whom you said, "Give me a king and princes"? I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up, his sin is kept in store. The pangs of childbirth come for him, but he is an unwise son, for at the right time he does not present himself at the opening of the womb. I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol. I shall redeem them from death. O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes. Though he may flourish among his brothers, the east wind, the wind of the Lord shall come, rising from the wilderness, and his fountain shall dry up. His spring shall be parched. It shall strip his treasury of every precious thing. Samaria shall bear her guilt, because she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their little ones shall be dashed in pieces, and their pregnant women ripped open. Chapter 14. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, "Take away all iniquity. accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. And you, the orphan, finds mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out. His beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the upright walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them.
I would say that whatever you experienced in that time, honor it. If you were distracted, it's okay. Was it different this week than it was last week? Yes? Yeah. Yeah, I think each time you get a little bit more comfortable with the amount of time that you're going to spend sitting. The words, if you were not here last week, I really encourage, like almost implore you to listen to last week's teaching, because the context of language is really, really important. Whatever you experienced, if you're willing to share it in your discussion group, I encourage you to do that. This is a safe place. I was distracted. There are still words in there that get to me. And so establish a space, establish that safety in your group where you can explore those things and talk about those things. That's the beauty of doing this in community, right? So yeah, we have about 30 minutes in our discussion groups. Come back at about 3 minutes till 8, and we'll check in after that.